part three of our interview with Chairman and CEO of Amusement Park Entertainment, Jimmy Smith. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
Let's talk about diversity in advertising.
Okay.
The lack thereof, and I think we met last year at the Where Are All the Black People event.
Okay.
Creative Week, and Jeff put that together. That was a good start. I was there this year again. I think it's a great campaign, but I just don't think there's enough attention.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there when you said it was a good start. There have been about 1,125 good starts.
Right.
You know, 10,000 good starts. It's a good start. And it's still the same way, which is bizarre to me. I know I've been at, you know, conferences, meetings about the topic, and, you know, a white cat will say, Jimmy, I can't find any black people. I don't know where they are. And I don't know, that'd be like me saying I can't find any white people. You know, I got my company here, Music Park Entertainment. I said, I can't find any white people, can't find any good ones, you know? I don't understand that. And it's really, again, I don't feel like it's that hard. You get somebody, send them to Poetry Lounge, send them to a freestyle rap session, send them to somewhere where, you know, cats' heads are, there's a lot of graffiti going on. These bloggers that are out there writing their asses off on these blogs, find some interesting blogs, and if you don't like what that dude is writing, he or she will lead you to somebody else who's doing something really interesting on the web. So to me, it's a lot of different places, a lot of different ways to skin the cat. And I think one way of opening that up is, like, we're working on a record label right now, a music label. And a lot of these cats, as you're doing stuff like that, you meet Lil Wayne, you meet Jay-Z, you meet Beyonce, so on and so forth. But the interesting thing is the people that write for them. I mean, Jay writes a lot of this stuff, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That writes for the bands, you meet them. Well, you know, they aren't writing music 24/7. They can write for this ad campaign that I'm doing here. They can do the music for this, whatever.
Right.
And it's just getting creative. We're supposed to be creative people. We're in the creative industry. A lot of us work in the creative department. There's no excuse if you're working in the creative department for you to say, I can't find anybody.
Right.
You know, your job is problem solving. And the interesting thing is we don't even think like that. It's just, there's some black dudes that work at a music park and do that. There's some white dudes do that. There's, you know, there's a little bit of everything.
I mean, one of the things that came up during the Where Are All the Black People event was awareness. Like, you know, but that black kids aren't aware that this is the future. But we all kind of, like I said in the beginning, we don't think about advertising. You know, I started in music and ended up in advertising. So is there anything valid in that we need to expose kids to, hey, it's an opportunity, you know, hey, you know what, you're a great writer, maybe you should knock on the door of an agency, I don't know, you know, is that, there's no magic dust that we're going to sprinkle, make it all right, I know that, where can we continue the starts, you know?
There's definitely some awareness going in there, but you get awareness by just hiring mugs to be in your business now. Yes, people are going to need training, but there are talented people out there right now as we sit and talk, and you know, they're out there, and some of them you know, I said a comedian, a hip-hop artist, or a poet, so on and so forth, but there are advertising people who are black, brown, pink, blue, purple right now that are good, that just aren't getting the opportunities, and you know, that's a shame, and there a lot of them are giving up and going into other industries, and if we keep allowing that to happen, it's, you know, America's not getting whiter, it's getting browner as everybody mixes together, right? And the brands are smart, and they say, okay, if you aren't providing it, I'm gonna go to where I can find it, where I can reach a lot of these cats. So we need to take that responsibility. On the flip side of that, there are many African-Americans that are on the brand side, on the client side, who can affect change, who don't. And you know, what a client says, jump. Hi, you know, what you need? How can we, because we're a service industry.
Right.
And unless they say do bad work, then we don't jump that high then. But but in general, what they want, you try and take care of them, make sure they have their needs met, and so on and so forth. A lot of clients can, not a lot, every client can end this right now. They can say what they want, get it, and either do this or I'm taking my $100 million account, $50 million account, billion dollar account, whatever the deal is, either do this or we'll go over here. And I guarantee you it'll change overnight. So the power, while the agencies can definitely make some stuff happen quick and they can make it happen overnight as well, so can the clients. So it's interesting when it's always being pointed at the agency folks, and they do need to fix it, but the clients can fix it as well.
So let's talk about the amusement park.
Okay.
So I was, when I first started following up, I said, where'd you go? He's not a child. Because I started trying to track you down a while ago. And I said, amusement park, okay. Amusement park entertainment kind of confused me at first. I said, well, is it an agency? What is it? So I guess in your words, I guess why you made the jump, why is it amusement park entertainment, and what's your vision for the next few years for the agency?
Well, we call it entertainment because it is not an ad agency. Yes, we can do advertising, traditional advertising. We can do it with the best of them. But our focus is on things outside of traditional advertising. And our feeling is if somebody is interacting with a brand, in whether it's an app, whether it's a video game, whether it's a TV show and internet show or movie, clothing line, event, if they're interacting with it and it makes sense, that's just as valuable, if not probably more valuable than, we believe it's more valuable than a TV commercial. Because if it's a TV commercial, I may or may not be watching the TV. I may be going to get a sandwich, I may go in the bathroom, whatever, and I may be talking, but if I take the time to download an app, if I take the time to go to search your thing out on YouTube, if I'm watching if I'm paying money to go to a feature film, I'm paying money, right? That's a different type of connection. That's something as a consumer, I want. I don't necessarily want an ad, but if it's something that, let me buy this t-shirt, let me buy this hat, let me go to this event that's taking place. You're putting in making a mental note and putting in time and effort to go do something, whether it's pay for in your wallet, so play with it, whatever the deal is. Whereas a commercial is very passive, and we think that it's more powerful to entertain them, and not just entertain them for entertainment's sake. You gotta have that sell in there, but it's a different type of selling. A replay is a great example,
yeah,
where I wanna watch that, period. Right? Whether I don't care whether they're selling to me or not. I want to relive what happened to me. So
we all have that do over. We'd like to be.
You want to do that. But when you connect it to the brand and it makes sense, perfect sense, is a perfect merger, that's very powerful for the brand. One of the things that happened was one of the brands called me and they wanted to put $60 million behind X Factor. And it had nothing to do with their brand. Nothing. I won't tell you what the brand is, but I'm going, dude, you gonna put $60 million? Why not take a third of that, create something of your own that you own, and then we own together because we are down with the IP, that makes sense for your brand. And so that's the next step, because we're getting more and more clients who, for instance, will put out a video, and then they'll wonder why it didn't, it doesn't have that many views or whatnot, right?
Right.
Well, it didn't because it wasn't entertaining.
Right.
It was boring, So
you gotta
mix in the entertainment.
I make something good and I buy the media. Or I know that X Factor has, 14 million viewers every Tuesday and Wednesday, So what is that like when you gotta tell them, look, you're gonna make it, you're gonna put it out there and we're gonna move it forward, how?
Not
dropping 30 million on media buys, but.
Well, I'm going back to, I think I'm answering your question. Yeah, you got 14 million eyeballs, but it's not when the commercials come on. So as soon as your commercial comes on, they've gotten up and gone and do whatever they got to do, come back when the show's back on, right?
Right.
Or they're on internet, right? Or they're on their phone or whatever. Okay, show's back on, I'll talk to God back, and they hang up. But again, in the case of replay, that whole thing was an ad, but it didn't look like an ad.
Right. How big can it get? You know, there's a good example of replay because it became a feature film. Does it still have the brand relevance at that point? Like, as it gets, is there a point at which it becomes too big?
No.
When you said feature film, I'm like, wow.
Well, I mean, think about it. Space Jam. That's a 90, it ran as a 90 minute, the second go around ran as a 90 second commercial on the Super Bowl. The movie was a 90 minute commercial. And you paid money to see a commercial. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And that got much bigger, but you can't help it. It was Bugs Bunny, Michael Jordan. Jordan ain't wearing Adidas. He's not wearing Reebok. He's in his J's. And still to this day, those Jordans that were worn in there, I believe it's the Air Jordan 11s.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's the 11s. It's the patent leather ones. That's what he wore in Space Jam. To this day, those are the most popular Jordans of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's big.
They generate the most heat.
Wow. All right.
And when did that come out? In the early 90s, right? Came out then.
Yeah.
So.
You talk about with the new agency, a new model. Maybe quickly about what's broken with the old model, and you also talk about trying to build around ideas. That's a challenge, you know. It's always been a challenge with advertising, but you have, I guess, it's kind of two questions wrapped in one.
Which one do you want me to hit first?
Why we're broken. Why the business is broken. What do we got to fix?
Well, first of all, it's not broken from a standpoint that you don't have geniuses out there doing their thing. Extremely smart people. So it's not broken from that standpoint, but it was broken from the day it was created. Back in the modern era of how you get paid by a client was done, I believe, in the late 1900s or something like that, right? So I'm sure it is in Ogilvy's book, but it's based on time. You're getting paid for time, right? How much time you do, and then just a straight up commission. So that thing can suck. But you can put out a piece of, that's why some sucky ad agencies exist, is because they aren't getting paid. Well, you're not paying me for my ideas, you're paying me for my time, and you're paying me for, I get a percentage for being your risk. Whereas you want to get paid for the creative and the results of the creative that you make. So that's one reason why it's working. You want to get paid for your ideas. You want to get, right now, many clients, not all, you got the smart ones, obviously the Steve Jobs of the world, incredibly smart, how Nike goes about their business, incredibly smart, but you need to start getting paid for your ideas. And if you aren't getting paid, if clients don't respect an idea, that's a problem. That's broken. That's why you can present something that's extraordinary to a client. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, they're looking at some. But they're looking at it like you put a diamond on the table, right? You can buy the diamond or you can buy this piece of granite. And the client, some clients are looking at it like, well, it doesn't matter whether it's the diamond or it's the piece of granite, it's all the same. That's a problem. That's where it's broken.
Right?
So here, and also when in terms of commercials, a lot of clients have gotten comfortable. They believe that they can make a commercial, right? They believe they can do this. I just need a risk. You guys are my risk to make this commercial. And because of YouTube, because you cut some film together, you put a little music over it. Hey, anybody can do it. I got a piece of film. And no, you can't. Just like I can't make what a client does, because the clients are great at what they do, which is making products.
Right.
Exceptional. I can't make a camera. I can't make a, I can't do the coding or whatnot on a video game or something. They're exceptional at what they do. You got to find clients that understand their limitations, because I don't go in there, hey man, this is not how you make an iPad. Yeah, look, this iPad needs to be like an octagon. And she, and, you know, right? That's absurd. Same thing with, you know, we've worked hard at our business, and what we do, you know, when you're at the top level, you're good at what you do. And no, everybody can't do what I do,
right?
Which is cool. But that's why I think the entertainment part of it is, you gotta get them out of their comfort zone. They don't know how, you know, most of them don't know how to make an app. They don't know how to make a video game or so on and so forth. So you gotta get them out of their comfort zone and weave in that message. But it's not just to get them out of comfort zone. The kids are interacting with new things all the time, and you gotta keep up. You gotta keep maintain their get to grab their attention. And the old boob tube is, that's the commercial on the boob tube is a old thing to them. You know, even the movie industry, you know, with the 3D, 3D's been out for a long time, but the way James Cameron tweaked it out with Avatar, it's taking it to the new level. You gotta find new ways. You can't just keep doing the same old thing, especially in 2012.
That's right.
That's it for part 3 of our interview with Jimmy Smith. Tune in next week for part 4.
Well, outside of, I'm assuming you ain't counting the Bible, because that's the best piece of advice. All right, you can't beat Jesus in my book. So, but on the earthly plane, Bootsy Collins said, what did he say? He said, somebody in the room said, well, the sky's the limit, man. You know, in other words, they were thinking you can do whatever you want because the sky's the limit. And Bootsy said, the sky's not the limit, because if there's a limit, then there would be no sky. Something like that.
Next week on The Buzz Bubble.